referred to the book Deuteronomy. The name means the second law. This is the repeat of the first four books of the Bible. This is the fifth book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They're written, of course, by Moses, given by God, and Moses, the man of God. And I was thinking of these young men. Of course, you can tell by the decor, they like to fish, and we're planning on a teen young men's trip. And these guys are our seniors, so I purposely am designing a trip with them in mind where we're going to do some fishing. And I came across something today when I was reading, and I thought, boy, this is something worth giving to you guys. And some of us that like the outdoor activities. And I read that the disciples that stayed up all night to fish were the same ones that couldn't stay up 1 hour to pray with Jesus. I mean, think about that. It's not a matter of I'm too tired. It's a matter of priorities. Encourage you, keep your priorities right. And boy, that is a battle that you're going to have your entire life. And I'm going to talk to you about making choices this evening. And this is especially for these two young men. And it's something that all of us could use. Let's read in our Bibles in Deuteronomy chapter number 30. And the book of Deuteronomy not only is a repeat of what God has already said in the law, because He wants to make sure that the Israelites get it, but also it is serves in a sense Moses's, I guess we would say, his farewell address. He knows that he's going to die before the Israelites go into the promised land. He's led them thus far out of Egypt through the wilderness for 40 years, and now it's time to step into the promised land. And he knows that he's not going to make it, but those that are still alive are going to soon enter into the promised land under Joshua. And you get the picture here, most of you may know this already, that the crossing of the Jordan into the land of promise, though sometimes we talk about it as being a picture of heaven, it's really a picture of living the Spirit-filled life, where we're walking in victory in our life. And if we're going to make it there, we're going to have to learn to make some right choices. In Deuteronomy chapter number 30, beginning in verse number 15 and through the end of this chapter, "See, I have set before thee," Moses is speaking to the people, "I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou goest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to be given them." And what a picture. The Old Testament, the more you study the Bible, the more you realize the pictures from the Old Testament that illustrate New Testament truths that are later revealed to us. "And even thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." I love this picture. There, as you study their lives, you find out what a great picture they are of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's a fascinating way to study their lives. But we're talking about the choice that God made, gave to the nation of Israel, to the people of Israel, through Moses, the man of God. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, thank You for the opportunity we have to spend these few moments together. Thank You for the Word of God that's a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, I pray that each one of us here tonight would know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as Jacob and Isaiah have made a profession of Christ and trusted You for salvation. And Lord, that there may be some folks, and I have no doubt there are folks here tonight that have never come to that understanding of how God wants to have a personal relationship with them and take them from this life into eternity in heaven when this life is over. And Lord, even that itself is a choice that we have to make. The most important choice we'll ever make is what will we do with Jesus Christ. And beyond that, life is filled with choices. And I pray that You'd give us wisdom to make right choices in our life. In Your name we pray. Amen. I'm talking to you tonight about making the right choice. And I don't know where these statistics come from. I hear them about the same. And I would say that this sounds about right to me in dealing with people for a number of years, that 10% of your life is the result of your circumstances. 10% of your life is the result of your circumstance, your family, your social background, your economic situation, the time that you're living in history, the community that you're raised in, your peers, your friends, the education that you are given or you were not given, the training that you receive in your youth and into your adult life. About 10% of your life is dependent upon that. And of course, this is far different than what our world says. And I've noticed this in dealing with people. And the more I deal with people, the more obvious it becomes that I would guess that 90% of your life is determined by your choices that you make. How you respond to those situations. 90% of where you will spend your life or what you will do in your life is dependent upon individual choices that you make. The most important, and I do know this, that the most important choices that you make in your life are not something you spend a lot of time thinking about and fretting about. They're things that sometimes are just instantaneous and they will change the entire course of your life. Those choices that you make. Now, there's a couple things I want to give you before I get into the outline of the text that we read and the chapter that we're looking at in Deuteronomy chapter number 30. And first of all, I want you to recognize your personal responsibility. You are responsible not for what happens to you, but how you respond to what happens to you. You're responsible for the choices that you will make. You will choose the life that you live. Not your circumstances, but you'll choose how you will live in spite or despite those circumstances. Now, one thing I know that all of us as human beings are experts. You hear a lot about experts. The experts say this, and whenever I hear that term, I say, grab your wallet. There's no such thing as an expert. I've met a lot of perts, but not any experts, but never mind. But two things I know that all of us are experts in as human beings, and that is we're expert sinners. We're experts at sin. And we're experts at blaming others for our sin. So we're experts at, first of all, sin and blaming others. And this goes all the way back to the first sin of Adam and Eve. You remember in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned? Of course, Adam was responsible. Eve was first partook of the fruit, but Adam, the Bible says, was responsible for the sin because he understood fully what he was doing and he chose sin rather than life. And of course, God came to Adam and said, Adam, what did you do? And remember what Adam's response was? The woman thou gavest me. he was blaming the woman and ultimately blaming God. God, you gave her to me. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be in this mess. And then God looks at the woman and says, Eve, what did you do? And Eve, of course, has the expert advice. She says, well, it was the serpent that beguiled me. We're expert at shifting the blame. That's what my modern psychology does. It blames everything except us for the choices that we make. It's not my environment. And they began to make all these excuses just like we do today. And we're all experts at that. And we've learned that very well from our forefathers. And then I will give you this. We need to recognize the consequences of your choices. Look around. Our world is filled with people that have made bad choices. Every one of us, we don't have to step outside our family. We don't have to step outside of our own house. I see broken homes. I see drunkenness. I see many people with wealth without riches. I see many people with many possessions but no purpose in life. I see a lot of lonely, empty lives today, and all a result of choices that we've made. And of course, we're expert at blaming everything around us except ourselves for our sin. But we need to realize that, recognize the consequences of our choices. Before we get into the outline again, we need to learn to seek good counsel. Seek good counsel. And let me tell you, young men, you're going to be given a lot of counsel in life. Most of it's going to be unsolicited. Most of it's going to be wrong counsel. But you're going to be given a lot of counsel, a lot of advice. You need to learn to select good counsel. And good counsel comes from a very select few people. You need to be careful who you take advice from, who you take counsel from. Good counsel goes against popular opinion. It goes against my natural desires and my natural abilities. And some things I've learned about good counsel comes from those that have a real close walk with God. They're the ones you ought to get your counsel from. And good counsel does not, and a lot of folks are saying, well, I want you to tell me what to do. Good counsel does not make decisions for you. Good counsel points out things that you might not see. You ought to surround yourself with good counselors. They're not going to tell you what to do. They make you aware of options and possible outcomes that you may not be aware of yourself. And seek good counsel. Let me give you those advice before we get into what the Scripture says here in Deuteronomy 30. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter number 30 again. And I want to say that when it comes to making right choices, I want you to understand, Isaiah and Jacob, that the choice is yours to make. Just like Israel was faced with a choice from God and from Moses, Moses said, I want you to make a choice. You choose life or death. It's your choice. But you do have a choice. Now, to us, we would think it's obvious. But in reality, when we're given a choice, it's normally not obvious. We're not sure which way to go. And I'll say this, do not trust your feelings. And again, this goes contrary to everything that the world would tell you today. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your understanding. Well, this is the way I see it. This is the way I feel about it. Don't trust your heart. That's the worst thing in the world you can trust. We talked about that this morning. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Well, I just trust my gut. No, don't trust your gut. Don't trust your desires. Well, this is what I just want to do. This would make me happy if I... Oh, don't trust what you think would make you happy. Don't trust your emotions. Don't trust what others expect you to do. Don't trust your abilities. Well, I'm good at this. I think this is what I should do with my life. Don't trust, well, these are my strengths. These are my gifts. These are my tendencies. All the things that the worldly counsel tells you, this is how you make the choices. No, 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 no. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. You see part of the verse there. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Trust in the Lord. Well, that sounds good, but how do we know what the Lord wants? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to look at this evening. The best counsel I want you to see in our text, and we're going to go back a few verses from where we started reading, and we really could go back a couple of chapters, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to focus on these verses. The best counsel is found in the book, or the Bible. The best counsel you'll ever find is in the Bible. Notice what God said in Deuteronomy 30 in verse number 10. If thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Who are we supposed to listen to? The voice of the Lord our God. If you will hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep His commandments. We talked about that phrase this morning again in the book of 1 John. And His statutes, which are written in the book of the law. That if thou shalt turn to the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. In other words, put your nose in the book if you want to make good choices. Give yourself to the Word of God. I can't emphasize enough the value of learning to study, to memorize, and meditate on the Word of God if you want to live a wise life, if you want to make right choices in your life. That's where it starts, and God starts there. But notice where He goes next in verse number 11 through 14. And I'll just say this, the best counsel comes from God Himself, and it's given to us in the Word of God. Notice what He says in verse number 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. It's not something you can't find. Folks say, well, I read the Bible, but I don't understand. No, God says it's not that hard to understand, bubs. You really can get it. It's not in heaven that thou shouldest say, oh, who shall go up to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Oh, if somebody could just go there and tell us what God... It's right here for us. It's written in black and white. In fact, God says in the New Testament that He's given us a more sure word of prophecy in the Word of God than if God were to speak with an audible voice. But we sometimes hear folks say, well, if God would just talk to me, He's talking to you right here. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Oh, if somebody could just go find the Word of God and bring it to you, hold it in your lap. It's right there in the Bible. But the Word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. It's right here. You've been taught the Word of God. You've been challenged to read and study and memorize and meditate on the Word of God. It's all right there for you. This is the Word of God. And a wise choice that you ought to make is to realize the best counsel comes from the book. The best counsel comes from God. The God of Scripture, not the God of our own making, but the God of Scripture. It's not difficult or complicated. Some folks have the spiritual gift of complicating the most simple things. They make the easiest things in life so complicated and so... It's right there in front of it. It's not that hard. Just get in the book and do what the book says. And then thirdly, it's the results of good choices. The choice is yours to make. We see the results of good... Look at the results of good choices in chapter 30 and verse number 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God and walk in His way, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgment, that thou mayest... This is what happens if you make good choices. Thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whithersoever thou goest to possess it. Again, the promised land that God promised to Moses and the Israelites is the land of the Spirit-filled life. The land flowing with milk and honey. I thought that sounds messy to me. I don't know. But it's a land of blessing. The land of great opportunity and the goodness of God upon your life. And again, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. When your house is built upon the rock, which is a solid foundation of the Word of God, the storms come in your life, but your house is going to stand firm because it's built on a rock and not on the shifting sands of the world's philosophy. And then look at the results of wrong choices in Deuteronomy 30, verse 17 through 18. But if thine heart turn away, you say, oh, yeah, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to study the Bible. I've got more important things to do than that. If thy heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them. Well, I don't worship other gods. You know, the God that we're taught to worship and everywhere I turn today is the God of self. Anything that starts with self, I want to turn and run the other way. The self-esteem, the self-help, the self-this and the self-that. We're all about self today. Whatever makes me happy, whatever I want to do, whatever I think. I heard one of the greatest statements I heard this year. A preacher said, you know, you don't care what I think and I don't necessarily care what you think. But we all ought to care about what God says. Amen? That what God says is important. But we're going to worship the God of self and serve them. And God says, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. That ye shall surely perish and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Now, if you know the history of Israel, you know that they made the wrong choice. In fact, Joshua later gave them the same choice. He said, you choose who you're going to serve. You can serve the gods of your forefathers that fell on their faces, that rebelled against God, or you can do the right thing. And the people all said, oh, we're going to serve you just like we serve God and Moses. And Joshua's thinking, yeah, right. Just like they served Moses, we're in a whole lot of trouble now. And they didn't serve God or Moses in Moses' day. And now they're promising to do the same thing. And they said, oh, we're going to do the right thing. And Joshua said, you want to, but you really can't. You can't make the right choice because you're not getting into the book. If you're going to make the right choice, you've got to get into the book. You've got to learn to study the book. That's the result of making the wrong choice. Well, I don't have time. Life's too busy. I've got all these other things to do. I don't have time to read my Bible and study and really dig into the Word of God. And I'm going to give you this. The choice is yours to make. And secondly, choose life. Choose life. Verse number 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. This is the witness. This is your choice. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose life. And I want to say this. This life is not your life. You know, I hear people say, I'm not sure what God wants me to do with my life. Let me tell you what's wrong with that statement. It's not your life to choose. Never was your life. Never will be your life. You see, before you were born again, your life belonged to the devil. You just didn't realize it. You were doing the works of the devil, the god of this world. What I choose, what I desire. But now that you're born again, you have a choice. That you can serve the God that loved you and died for you, that bought you with a price. And 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You don't belong to yours. It's not your life. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, the Bible uses this word stewardship. If I'm a steward of something, I'm entrusted with something that does not belong to me. My life does not belong to me. Never has belonged to me. You don't have a life that belongs to you. Your life belongs to the God who you choose to serve. The God of this world or the devil in my flesh or the God of the Bible. And I've been bought with a price, and He is worthy. And I've learned this from experience, that when I live the life of His choosing, God's blessing is showered upon me. Before we belong to God, we belong to Satan. And I have a choice now to make. And that's what God's getting at here. And this is for those that are saved. After we're saved, we have a choice. Who are we going to live for? Now, if you've not been born again, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have a choice. You don't, maybe don't realize it, but you're living your life the way the devil, the god of this world, wants you to live. It doesn't matter if you have religion or no religion. The devil's got a lot of counterfeit religions. The devil's got a lot of things that make us feel like, oh yeah, we're worshiping God, or the god of our own creation, whatever that god is that we choose. The devil's just playing games with you. And you're going to come to the end of life, and Jesus said, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things? We've cast out demons, we've preached your word, we've done all these great works. And Jesus said, no, depart from me, I never knew you. And oh, what a difference it is when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you have that choice, but the choice, the life that you have is not your life, but the choice is yours. Romans 6 and verse number 16 says, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. Now, you both drive, I think. Jacob's driven since before he could walk, I think. You know what? When you see a sign that says yield, what does that mean? It means go real fast and get ahead of the other guy, right? Run him off the road so I can get on the road first. And when you yield, that means, oh, wait a minute. You can go first, sir or ma'am. I don't know about that. I think it means step on the gas and run them, get ahead of them. To yield means to surrender your rights. This life is not mine. I need to yield myself. And whoever I choose to yield myself to servant, as to obey, his servants we are to whom we obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We can choose life or death. Now, on the surface, that seems like such an easy choice to make. That's like, I've illustrated it this way before. I put two glasses out here, and one of them has the nectar of heaven and Mountain Dew in it, right? That's good right there. And the other one has gasoline in it. I'm not sure what gasoline will do to you, but it won't be good. I can guarantee you that. It'll probably kill you. And you can choose. Now you think, well, duh, which one am I going to choose? It's that simple. It's that obvious. Choose life or death. Choose to live by the way I want to and have the curse of God on my life. Or choose the way to live to surrender to God and give my life to Him. Realize it's not mine to begin with. I'm just giving back what rightfully belongs to Him. He is the source of life. And we say, well, I don't want to make that choice. Well, by default, we're living for self. We say, well, I'm not going to make that choice. I'm not sure if I want to live for God or the devil. Well, we're living for the devil. We just don't realize it. But choose this day whom you serve. And then I want to give you this. Not only choose life, but choose grace. Oh, this is a big one. Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey His voice, that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life. And the length of days, that thou mayest dwell in the land, that the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Choose grace. Now, in reality, when it comes to making life's choices, grace is not even on the radar of most people. It's not an easy choice. It's in no way sensible to man. It's not a natural choice. It doesn't make any sense for me to choose grace. You see, what grace is God doing in me something that I could never do on my own. Choose grace. And again, the picture of the Israelites going into the promised land. They get across the promised land and God says, okay, I want you to grab the priest, I want you to grab the ark and go walk across the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was flowing outside of its banks at this time of year. It was flood season. That would be like going to a raging, crazy river and say, okay, I want you to take the ark of God and just start walking in that water. Are you crazy? You're out of your mind. But it didn't happen until they put the first foot down in the water. All of a sudden, God opened the waters up and they crossed on dry ground. different than when they crossed the Red Sea early, 40 years earlier, where God parted the water first and then said, now march through. He said, you trust God and God will do the impossible. And then they come to the city of Jericho. I think my wife talked about that in junior church. She told me her lesson. They had to walk every day for 7 days. They walked around the walls of Jericho and they said, you know what? I think today's a day off. I don't think I want to do it today. No, you've got to do it exactly how God says and do what God says. And it's not a difficult thing to just march around the walls of Jericho and those crazy people will be looking at you. What in the world are you doing down there? These crazy Jews, what are they doing? And then the last day you march around again and then you blow and all of a sudden the walls are going to come tumbling down. That's impossible. God can do the impossible. That's what grace is. Well, I can't do this, but this isn't what I can do. That's the life of grace. It's not what I choose, what I desire, but what does God desire? It's His life to begin with. Choose His life and choose the life of grace. Is there anything too hard for God? No, there's nothing that God cannot do if we choose His grace. God saves us by His grace. That's God doing in me what's humanly impossible. He saved me not because I'm good enough, but because I trusted in Him. I can't save myself. I had to trust Him completely, and He did all the saving. God changes our life not because we get a certain education, because we do certain things, because we get the character of this. No, I just trust in Him and let Him transform us from the inside out. That's God's grace. God doing the impossible through us. Oh, if we just trust God, choose to live the life that He's chosen. Not what we choose, not what everyone tells us, but what God says. And God will speak to you from this book. It's not as difficult as folks, oh, if God could just tell me what to do. And I've dealt with kids. I think of one of my children especially. Oh, if Dad, if you just tell me what to do. No, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I want God to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you to get into the book and listen to God. I'm not going to tell you what everybody wants. And I'm not going to make those choices for you. That's your choice to make. And you choose what God wants you to do with your life by getting into this book. Choose life. Choose what glorifies God. The life that He chooses. To give Him the life that He gave you. And then choose grace. God to do the supernatural. The unthinkable through you. I sometimes joke that folks here don't know my personality. And the very fact that I can stand up here and even look at you, let alone talk to you, is a miracle of God's grace. And there's a couple of people, a couple of my brothers are here tonight, and they might remember what I was before. One time one of my sisters came to hear me preach when I was in their area and said, I just want to hear you because you're the little brother that always sat in the corner. Nobody even knew you existed. And now you're up in front of everybody. That's not me. That's God's grace. I can't do that. That's not the life that I chose, but that's the life that God chose. God can do the impossible if we just learn to trust in His grace. A lot of folks get grace and mercy mixed up. Mercy is not God not giving us what we deserve, but grace is God enabling us to do what we cannot do on our own. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do some things. I can do certain things. No, I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do everything through Christ. But on the other side of that same coin is John chapter number 15, where Jesus said abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bring forth except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. There's nothing you can do without God. That's God's grace. I need to totally depend upon Him and making my... God, this isn't what I choose. This isn't what... not what my preacher says, not what my parents say. Now, those are good people to ask for their advice, but you make the choice. You get a lot of folks that tell you, well, this is what... a good counselor doesn't make that choice for you. He'll point out things that you'd be good to listen to. and pay attention and make wise choices and choose life. Choose to walk with God. Choose grace. Choose for God to do the impossible through your life by full surrender. Without me, you can do nothing. If you're here tonight, I thought we were just going to have cake and ice cream and go home, but there's good smelling food. I'm surprised these guys could sit so long with such a good smell in here. I know them too well. Jacob's probably got a sandwich in his pocket. He already showed me his cake. I mean, it's a hamburger this big. I don't know if it's a cake or a real hamburger, but you know, we came for that. I'm going to encourage you tonight. What will you do with Jesus Christ? The choice that you make, what I will do with Jesus Christ, will depend on where you will make all the difference where you spend eternity. You can accept Him or reject Him. Well, I'm not going to do either one. To do neither one is to reject Him. Jesus said, I'm under the condemnation of God. I'm already condemned. And the only hope is to trust Jesus Christ, who provided a way for me to be saved. That's a choice of salvation. If you've not made that choice, I beg you. This may be your last opportunity. I can't scare you into getting saved. If I could, I would. But I can't do that. The choice is yours to make. What will you do with Jesus Christ? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, now your life, every day, you're faced with choices. Am I going to live for God today, or am I going to live for myself? Am I going to do what I want to do, or what God wants me to do? And the only way I can find out what God wants me to do is to give myself to this book. That's why I gave you that book, to help you study the Word of God, to help you make the right choices. You can put that book on a shelf and it'll look real pretty and impress people. Oh, look at that book. Have you ever read it? No. But it sure looks nice, doesn't it? That doesn't do you a bit of good. It's like a lot of folks have a Bible on their coffee table, but if you're not opening it up and reading it and studying it and memorizing it, you're not going to know what to do. You're going to be faced with choices that you're not going to know up and down, and you're going to make the wrong choice every time, I can guarantee you. We need to get into the book, into the Word of God. But the choice is yours to make. Choose life and choose grace. I've been asking you to...